My next guest, who's not really a guest, he's a member of the XR4TI. He does not need any introduction. I do not need to explain what we do here or why he's here or what he's all about. You already know. You already know this guy has a gigantic head, that he butchers the English language, that he owns a dog wash and is in the process of building a car wash adjacent to the dog wash to support the dog wash. He's contemplating, I'm told, a third level, which would include a cat wash. So I would encourage all of our listeners in the Arvada, Colorado area to get their dogs washed and their cars cleaned once the car wash is finished. The establishment is called Surf in Suds Cat Wash and Detail Center. Am I right, Big Head?
If I see cat making me much money, mate, I'd be happy to change it to Surf and Suds Cat Wash and Detail Center. But it's a good idea, the cat part. Mate.
All right, so where does that stand? How close is the cat mate portion of that entrepreneurial play to being completed?
Well, I got about 400 square feet. I could probably put it in there, but I got to finish that damn dog wash first, Jim. Still working on that thing. It's hard. Right.
Hey, man, listen, build vertically. You don't have to buy any more land. Just build that thing straight up. Hey, really quickly, what was your reaction to Alvin's immortal and incredible promo?
Like it is every year. Fire, goat stuff. Surprised he put a couple lines in there that were absolutely hysterical. Those callers are creative and right on the line, man.
Oh, or right over the line.
Oh, yeah, over it too, yeah.
All right, good. All right, so most of all, we are here to get down. To get paid. We need some money. Are you ready, Head?
Hell yes, let's do
it. Do you feel dangerous, Head?
I feel dangerous, Jim.
Do you feel smart, Head?
Yes, I do.
Okay, let's get it. Full transparency. The NBA playoffs have not just been ass. Mm-hmm. They have been serial ass, and they have not been easy to protect. So when I say full transparency, last few nights, Head, I've gone all punk ass with it, hitting money line plays. Scary, but safe. But not safe, right? Like, I'm not proud of it, but it's worked and it's gotten me paid. Okay. Generally, I know you're not about that life. So let's start. Heat v. Boston. The Heat are busted the hell up. They're in Boston. Who is looking to finish? They know that Golden State is done and getting rest. Miami is DOA. But we're not talking about overall win-loss. We're talking about against the spread. Mm-hmm. Is 8.5 points enough value for you to get with the Heat?
First off, the top seed in the Eastern Conference Finals, an 8.5-point dog is wild in a Game 6, Jim.
Agreed.
But, yeah, very wild. But considering the last 12 NBA playoff games, only one game has been decided by less than 8.5 points. And in those 12 games, the winning team has won by an average of 18.5 points. So am I going to take them? No, I'm not. I'm going to go Miami actually here. And I am going to take Miami. You asked if I was going to take them or not. Sorry about that.
What the hell is the matter with you, man? Wake up.
Points. I'm going to go law of average play here.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am sure. Okay. Miami Heat plus 8.5.
Wake up.
Thank you. The Heat are scoring just 84 points per 100 possessions in the half court since game one. Buckets is averaging 9 points a game the last three games, but I can't see Jimmy having four straight bad games, and the Heat have to shoot better from distance than they have.
Don't do that.
38 threes in game five. They are shooting 29% from distance the entire series, but in the regular season, they were the best team in the NBA at shooting the three-point ball. Also against the spread, as a dog, they are in their best spot, hitting on 65% of their games. Boston is 20, and 25 is a home favorite. Below not good. That's only 44%. Let's go Heat, plus 8.5. I think the Celtics win, but I'm going Miami.
All right. Interesting. I may go money line because of what you just said. I think the Celtics win, too, but hard to extrapolate all the ass that's coming out of the NBA playoffs.
Horrible.
All right, so let's get to our future picks for the NFL. Again, coming into this, until I learned some better betting discipline, I was all about the immediate gratification. Like, I had trouble delaying it. I did not want to wait the entire season. I was not a big futures guy, but I have flipped on that.
Nice.
You have kind of taught me that. It's a nice hedge. It gives you something to follow throughout the entire year. So you did change my thinking on that. Let's do this. Let's isolate one particular division. Okay. Say, I don't know, the AFC South. over-under numbers for each team. Right now, the Colts are the team to beat in that division. The number I'm seeing for this, 10.5 wins on the year. Are you over or under on 10.5 for the Colts?
Over 10.5 wins. It's a good roster in a weak division, and Chris Ballard made an already good defense better. He traded for Yannick Ngakoue to add edge rushing and signed Stephon Gilmore and Rodney McLeod on the back end. They should be one of the better defenses in the entire NFL. And, of course, on offense, they got Matt Ryan. He is 37, but as long as he doesn't piss everyone off in the building like Wentz apparently did, that should be a nice upgrade. He isn't the MVP he was in 16, but the dude has played in some rough situations the past few years in Atlanta with a bad, bad ass line. He's got to be thrilled there. Also, that Jonathan Taylor guy you love, he's special. Biggest concern is the skill positions outside of Taylor, though. The Colts' best hope is second-round pick Alec Pierce out of Cincinnati. Hopefully, he could fire out of the gate for them, and Michael Pittman Jr. could take another huge step forward. They must need, or they need more juice there in their favor. Schedule-wise, is KC and the Chargers both playing at Lucas Oil this year? I think they win the AFC South. Over 10.5 wins for the Colts.
I like that pick. I can get with that. All right, as much as I like the Titans, and I do, I can't help but wonder if maybe their championship window is already slammed shut. I could be wrong. I hope I am because I do like them. Mm-hmm. I always have, but I've got my concerns. They're currently sitting at 9 wins. Are you over or under on them?
Yeah, that bitch is barricaded shut. They are not competing this year, Jim. The top seed in the AFC playoffs a season ago gets a 9-win over-under. I will continue the disrespect and go under. The AFC got better and the Titans didn't. Biggest loss is A.J. Brown. Yeah, they brought Robert Woods in, but he's coming off an ACL injury, and he's playing with a below-average quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. He was exposed without Derrick Henry in the lineup last year. It's looking like this might be his last season there. And Henry, their best player, he's coming off injury, and he is now 28 years old. Last year, he wasn't breaking tackles at his normal rate. His yards per carry were a yard down and had a big dip in yards after contact per attempt. Tough schedule, too. Week 2 at Buffalo and a gauntlet starting Week 9 at KC, Denver, at Green Bay, followed by Cincy, then Philly with A.J. Brown. I like their defense. The pass rush is better, but let's go under 9 wins for the Titans.
The head is on fire. The Jags are the Jags, which is to say the Jags are ass. But they're not even the worst team in the division. That tells you all you need to know about the AFC South. That said, you can take the Pervin liar out of the facility, but the question is, how much of the blood that he splattered and that Pervin mold and DNA is still in the walls? That stench. How much bleach would you have to have at that facility to completely whitewash it of Pervin liar? Never mind bleaching the facility. You'd almost have to burn that thing to the, not even that thing, that city to the ground to get the Pervin liar DNA out of the organization. Light the entire town on fire. What's the number? How are you playing it?
The over-under win number is 6 for the Jags. The perv mold, like you said, is strong, Jim. It's like a skank's ass in a dive bar. Someone is going to have to pry that old perv. It's filth off of it, and I don't think they can enough to get 7 wins. I'm going under 6 here. Trent Baalke was aggressive in the offseason, kind of a mixed bag of good and bad. Helped the offensive line, linebacker, secondary, but throwing big money at Christian Kirk and somewhat an unimpressive draft, I'd say, dims the season outlook. Also, I just don't know how bad that perv stank you talked about has hurt Trevor Lawrence. You can't just keep popping pills. That flair keeps coming back, Jim. The generational prospect.
What,
was
you mean like the perv herb?
Something, man. I don't know. Like you said, how do you get rid of it? I don't know. But it hit the generational prospect. He was near the bottom of every single passing metric last season. The guy threw one touchdown from November 11th to January 1st, and he couldn't even complete 60% of his passes as a whole, and he was a checkdown king. Plus, their schedule isn't favorable this year. Some of the games they could win against the Commanders, against the Jets, and Lions are all on the road. I'm going under 6 for Doug Peterson and the clown organization there.
I think the head's having one of his best efforts ever. Quickly, how crappy would you have to be looking up at the Jags? Because that's exactly where the Texans find themselves. We had Nick Caserio on the program not too long ago. I'm really hoping for Nick. I like Nick. I'm hoping somehow, some way, they can dig their way out of this, but it sure as hell is not going to happen overnight. What is their number? Which way are you going with them?
The number is 4.5 wins. I'm going under again. Last season, they outkicked their coverage more than any team in the NFL. They won 4 games with a talent of a half-win roster. They followed that by pushing David Coley off.
A half-win roster. How do you quantify a half a win?
That's the number.
Like they won the first half?
Yeah, so well,
of a game?
No, they'd have to win to get over, so which they didn't have the talent.
Okay,
man.
I got it. That makes sense.
David Coley did a great job, but he's out. They promoted Lovie Smith, and that offense that ranked dead last in the NFL and a defense that wasn't much better, it got a touch better on talent. Nothing really notable done in free agency, but they did have 9 selections in the draft. Biggest name being Derek Stingley Jr. at cornerback. He has a talent to be the best player in the entire draft. He's that good if he's healthy. I like Davis Mills. I think he's got a future. But this is the infancy of a rebuild, and from a schedule standpoint, their winnable games are on the road too. Chicago Week 3 and Giants Week 10. Lovie's only lost less than 5 games in the NFL twice. Let's make it 3 times, under 4.5.
All right, so a couple of minutes left at max. I've said this many times, but the NHL postseason has been the superior product to the NBA postseason. Is there any hockey you want to hit on the way out the door?
Yeah, tonight, Avs at St. Louis. Somehow the Avs found a way to triangle choke themselves in Game 5.
St. Louis.
St. Louis Blues here. Nathan MacKinnon is on a mission, though. Let's go Avs here.
Gloria.
Gloria. So I'm going to Avs, -170 on the money line here. Darcy Kuemper needs to be better. He had a negative goal save above average number 4 of the 5 games here. They were not strong on the puck in Game 5, but let's go Makar and MacKinnon in the Avs, -170.
Avs, -175. I got 45 seconds. Run it down, top to bottom, head.
NBA Heat +8.5 tonight. NFL over under wins on the season. Colts over 10.5. Titans under 9. Bags under 6. Texans under 4.5. And Avs tonight on the money line against the Blues -170.
Dude, good job, Head. Great job. Let's get paid. Let's get down. Have a great weekend, Head. Thank you very much. Well done.
Thanks,
well, thanks, boss. Anyway, he did a good job.